Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
Hello, catch-uppers. Welcome to today's podcast.
Today.
Welcome to today, today. Take it away. Whoa.
Whoa, good remix.
Thank you. I kind of did just remix with my mouth. I feel like a part of me could have been a beatboxer.
Yeah, you're not bad at beatboxing.
Oh, have I shown you my beatboxing skill?
Yeah, you have. You're good.
Yeah?
Go on, give us a... Well done. And you can rap.
I mean, triple threat.
Why don't you try rap and beatbox at the same time like that guy I did on Australian Idol? What was his name? Joel Turner. He was a freak.
These kids trapped in a struggling, know where they're heading, head full of trouble.
Yeah, but beatbox at the same time.
They get and then nobody knows the trouble.
How does he do it, hey? How does he do it?
I think he lays the beatbox track.
No, I watched him do it live once. It was unbelievable.
Joel Turner. Give us a cracker.
Where is he?
I feel like I did look into him recently because I missed him, you know? Joel Turner. I wonder if we've got any Joel Turner in the system.
Here we go.
Oh my God, we've got heaps of Joel Turner in the system.
This is a good song, this one.
Forget what's coming up in the podcast. Let's just play this. Yeah, you can hear his beatboxing in the background, can't you? Gonna believe I'm if they told you.
If anyone knows who Joel Turner is now, give us a call. Get in touch, guys. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Well, that has absolutely nothing to do with what's on the show today.
We had a fun show. You'll have to listen to find out what. We're not on tomorrow, guys, so you will miss our podcast, but we're back Wednesday.
Yeah. Hey, listen out for a chat we did today. It was like we went into it not really knowing what to expect. It was with a forensic toxicologist.
Yeah.
Fascinating dude. So interesting. It's all about murder and stuff. So if you like true crime, he's the man to listen out for. All right, enjoy. Speak to you again on Wednesday. Good luck for the cap tomorrow.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With...
Josiah and Ellie.
Well, the girl that organises all our competitions, such as the Derulo rooftop gig, the R&B Friday live competition, all that sort of stuff, is our new promo manager, Mel.
Mm.
Now, Mel, how do you describe her? A bit of a ball buster?
Bit of a ball buster. Great. Fantastic at her job. Very good.
When she's asleep.
No. All the time. You may have seen her in our blackout challenge. She was in the room with us for a lot of it. You know, made sure we were fed and watered and had the right branding in place.
You can't do the wrong thing by Mel, though. If she sets a meeting, you're there at 10 o'clock on the dot.
Oh, 100%.
If you're there at 10:01, you're getting a phone call saying, where are you? If you don't have a hit sign and you're out doing a hit thing, Mel's angry. She's very good and very strict at her job. There's a meeting every Friday that she's put on at 10 a.m. and she's tried to crack it with us to show the importance of that meeting very much so, hasn't she?
And you and I on a Friday, we do this show. We're loose. We're up and about. End of the week. Great. We just want to get out of here.
Yeah, 10 o'clock. Get stuff, Mel. So we thought, and a couple of the other boys in the office have been missing it, and she's been making a vocal point about being at this meeting. You and I, so far, so good.
Yeah.
However, on Friday, we thought just before the meeting at 10, we'd give her a quick call, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, you did. I wanted to stay right out of it because I don't like putting people offside. But here's how it went down when we gave Mel a call.
Hello, Mel speaking.
Mel, it's Josiah.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Just finished the show, hanging out now, just doing some emails. What about you?
Where are you? In the office somewhere?
No, I'm in the studio.
Ah.
Do we have our 10 o'clock today?
Well, it's supposed to be happening.
Because
I haven't cancelled it.
I know, I was just going to say I'm exhausted today, so I might duck home early and miss today's if that's cool.
Well... Is everyone else getting to duck home early?
No, but I literally did the blackout challenge right, had an hour's sleep that night, and then last night I had a photo shoot in Melbourne, and I had 2.5-3 hours, so I'm going to duck out. So,
hey, Jay, is the photo shoot anything to do with me?
No.
No, exactly.
Cool. Well, I'm going to miss it, okay?
Righto. Don't be precious with me.
I'm tired. Cancel the 10 o'clock. Reschedule it for Monday. I'll speak to you then.
Righto.
I'm serious. I'm not in the mood today. I'm tired.
Okay, that's fair. Whatever. I can't change your mind.
Don't let him get off that easily, Mel. put your foot down.
She hung up. Oh, the new girl, just picking on the new girl.
Whoa, I didn't think she'd back down, honestly.
I reckon she's already in our general manager, Alan's office, dobbing me in.
She's straight. Oh, I can see her go storming across. She's gone storming across the office. You're in trouble.
Hey, you know what? I don't care. I'm not turning up to that meeting anyway.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, Wednesday night for Halloween. You and I, of course, were locked in the room at the Maroopna Hospital together.
Lots of people ask me how it went. I stand by my word, the worst night of my life.
Yeah. I mean, mine would have been fine if you weren't there. Unfortunately, you caused me to get very little sleep for more reasons than one. But one in particular I want to focus on, because ever since I've known you, you've said, I don't snore.
Well, and this is confirmed by the fact that a few years ago I have asthma, first of all. Mm-hmm. Then I had bad tonsils. Mm-hmm. So about 2 years ago I had my tonsils removed. Mm-hmm. The doctor said to me, no more snoring now, no matter what. And I am usually a side sleeper, mm-hmm. but for some reason during this room, I didn't want to sleep on either side, because on one side was a bed that has carried over 1,000 bodies on it. And on the other side was both you and a mannequin that apparently came alive in the middle of the night. So
you're the only one who said it came alive during the middle of the night. That was just all in your head.
Naturally, I want to sleep on my back facing the roof with no fears besides all the ghosts around me.
Well, last night I was going through the footage to put together some videos of the night. I did put one up on our Instagram, HitGV, if you want to check it out, of what happened at midnight.
How do I look when I sleep?
You look kind of cute. Ugly, oh, okay. I'd say, would probably be the word that came to mind. But there's something I noticed, and I did notice it on the night too. Have a listen to Josiah as he sleeps. Sounds like the ocean. It's not. It is the loudest snoring you'll ever hear in your life. Are you kidding me? Does that sound like someone who, oh, I never snore?
I haven't seen the footage, so I don't believe it. I reckon that's you.
It's not me.
Sounds like a Mustang starting up.
I am quiet as a mouse when I sleep. That is all you, my friend. So
I don't believe
never
it.
Again. Every time you say on this show, I don't snore, I'm going to bring this audio back.
Well, next time you sleep with me, just turn me on my side.
Never sleeping with you again. Trust me. Not only that, but then in the morning, every 10 minutes, Ellie, are you awake? Ellie, you... No, I'm not awake!
Well, you be scared of ghosts asleep on your back. Worst night of my life, guys. If you want to see the video, hit Goblin Valley.
Yeah.
You can see it now. It is very funny. Worth watching me sleep.
It's really not.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With...
Josiah and Ellie.
I want to talk about Lorde for a second, because I feel like Lorde burst onto the scene. She was massive, right? She had those albums. She won Grammys. And then ever since, we haven't really heard much about her.
No, Australia's very own Lorde.
Well, she's from New Zealand.
Yeah, but anyone that's done well from New Zealand, we claim as our own. So she's Australia's very own.
Yeah, and they claim Vegemite. It really annoys me when they do that. But she's come out and released a statement saying that she's postponing the release of a new album and a new touring dates and whatnot because she's had a death in the family.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, I know it is sad. You feel bad for her. But then you realise the death in the family that she's had is her dog, Pearl.
Yeah.
No, okay. I'll be the first to say, losing an animal is very difficult. I agree. But I don't know if it can get you out of
Ellie,
releasing a whole album. Like,
Ellie,
take a couple of days, great. You don't need to postpone the whole album release date because your little dog passed away. Come on.
Ellie, my dog of 17 years is the worst moment of my life when she died.
I agree.
I don't care. I could have 10 humans. This sounds so bad, and sorry to my family if they are listening. I know they are. I would be more upset when my dog dies than when a human dies.
Okay, well, that means you're a little bit sociopathic, I think.
No, not at all. Because humans suck. Let's be honest. They talk back to you. They argue. Dogs are innocent. They don't argue. They listen to you. They do whatever you want.
Mate,
dog is more important to a human than a human is to a human. I'm telling you right now, a dog is a man's best friend. I'm with you, Lorde. I'd put off your next 10 albums if you lost your dog, you poor thing.
Humans may talk back to you, but dogs poo on your carpet, bro.
That's a good point. I actually stood in some dog poo over the weekend, so I do feel your pain.
Exactly. I've never stepped in human poo. I can quite confidently say that.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe once.
Because I left something behind your car.
Okay. Fair enough. I feel like it's not a good enough excuse. I'm just, I hate to say it, but sorry, Lorde, it's not good enough for me. But people do this often. They blame things on animals all the time.
Well, the best thing is, and going back to my dog of 17 years, whenever someone would drop Smokey off the chain in the lounge room and all the family sitting there trying to eat their dinner, it was always me, obviously.
Perfect example.
Molly. She'd get the blame every single time. Dad's like, what is that smell? It must have been Molly again. Meanwhile, I've dropped five bombs left, right and centre.
Actually, that's true. We do that with my dog as well. And everyone looks, and then he looks so guilty. But he's like, guys, it wasn't me, but I just don't have the words to defend myself.
See, this is why it's more sad. Who are you going to blame? You can't blame a human because they deny it. The dog can't deny it.
No wonder you love dogs so much, because you're a fart machine. Hey, 13, 12, 16, Golden Valley, I want to know this morning, what did you blame on an animal? Maybe it was one of your cows from the farm. Maybe it was your dog. Maybe it was your cat. Whatever it was, give us a call. 13, 12, 16 is our number.
Get up with Josiah and Ellie.
Let's go to Michael from Kai. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Have you blamed something on an animal?
Well, I did. We made a beautiful pavlova cake for my auntie for her birthday.
Yum.
And, it just looked too good to give up, you know. So I might have had a slice or two and pretty much blamed my dog, Jack Russell.
Well played.
I feel horrible about it, but it was too good to put up, to be honest. So
pavlova is my favourite dish as well, so I don't blame you, mate. How did it go down when you got to the family birthday and there was no cake?
Oh, well, look, I had to put, it was easy to blame the dog, to be honest, because he's a pretty cheeky bugger, so it's not the first time he's done it.
If the dog actually did eat it, though, that's some seriously runny droppings you've got to pick up afterwards. I feel like pavlova would go straight through a Jack Russell.
Yeah. Oh, I did. Yeah, look, it was pretty, yeah.
A pavlova is almost the same size as a Jack Russell.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
All that meringue and sugar. Oh, God, I don't want to think about
it. Yum, I want pavlova.
Thanks for your call, Mike.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, last night on the episode of The Block, we saw the beautiful Elise and Matt take out the room reveals for last night's episode. They join us now. Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you feeling, guys? Is it good to finally get one over Mitch and Mark? Because they've won a few weeks in a row now.
Oh, we're just so excited. It's been a while between drinks, that's for sure. We're over the moon. I'm actually still smiling from ear to ear.
I can imagine. You've come good at the right time. Like the week before auction week, you want to go in as the, you know, previous winners, the reigning premiers, as you will, you know?
Yeah, no, most definitely. We feel like we have played a strategic move. We definitely placed our money where we felt was best suit in the competition and gave it everything we had. So we took out the 10 grand to push it into the front yard. So we're very excited, especially now there's a car up for grabs.
I know. Yes. How good is that as well? You take that one as it comes as well. Mitch and Mark, though, they finally didn't win, like I just said, and they cracked it. They snapped last night's episode. Does that make the win all that much sweeter?
Oh, I don't know whether it makes it a lot sweeter. I mean, we thought it might have been coming a lot sooner, but look, we're all stick together, you know. We're all working as hard as each other, so it's a bit sad to see him bust out. But we're glad that we've got the win because obviously, we've been waiting a while.
And let's be honest, we are a little bit excited about it, just a little bit.
Well, that's the thing. Like waiting till the last week to like say I'm out, I want to quit. Did that ever cross your mind? You know, in the final stages, were you guys just like, nah, there's nothing I can do. I can't make the next 6 days work. Did you ever think about throwing in the towel?
Never. You know what? We were blessed to have the opportunity to go on the block. You know, there's 100,000 people applied, and every single day we woke up positive and went, we are so lucky to be here. And the last week, we were singing and dancing. We actually wanted to stay there a little bit longer to enjoy it because you put so much blood, sweat and tears into it.
Yeah.
You want to be able to sit back and have a good cold beverage in it and just celebrate it.
On a winning rooftop. Well, yeah.
That's so true.
You do realise, and how excited are you guys, that this Sunday your life could be changed?
Oh, I can't wait for it to change. It's been a full year of the waiting on the what ifs and if we sell and when we sell and how much. And, you know, we just really, really want everybody to walk away with some cash because, God, we know how hard everyone works.
Yeah, of course. How are the nerves at this stage? Out of 10, how nervous are we?
Out of 10?
Mm-hmm.
Probably like a 1. I'm not nervous at all. You know what? We're just excited. We're not even nervous. Like, we're excited because it's been such a journey and like, anything could happen. And so, whatever, we walked into this competition with nothing. So if we walk out with nothing, we walked out with, you know, some amazing friendships and, You know, that's what we count for anyway.
And we will have a bottle of wine on the day before we're going in there. We'll be nervous by then, let's be honest.
You've walked away with a few extra Instagram followers as well, guys.
I feel like auction night is like the Christmas party. You know, like each workplace has their Christmas party at the end of the year where like everyone's worked so hard throughout the year. This is the chance to let your hair down and just get pretty wild. I feel like the equivalent of the block is auction day.
Yeah, exactly is. And I'm hoping Tess doesn't try and knock me into a cupboard or something like that and try and take me. You know what I mean?
I hate to say it, but it's a well-known fact that 40% of people do something they regret at a Christmas party, guys. So be careful.
Be very careful. Okay, yes. Easy.
You're probably not
I'm
doing.
I'm hoping you don't peak too early. That's all.
Yeah. I know you're probably not doing interviews on the Monday, but if you are, we want stories, guys.
Easy.
Well, look. Apparently, the winners do the interviews on the Monday, so we'll speak to you then. Okay?
Oh, we hope we are then. We hope we do.
Exactly. Lock us in for Monday morning this time next week. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Elise and Matt, and best of luck for Sunday night. We're rooting for you. Everyone is.
Huh? Thanks. Thanks so much.
Superstar. Thanks, guys.
See you,
Thank you.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up
with...
Josiah and Ellie.
I will perform a feat of lunatic daring.
Josiah and Ellie give you Monday's Muppet.
What a Muppet.
Alrighty, today's Muppet I give to somebody that's done something over the weekend or over the past week that has ticked me off.
Josiah Sharla.
Well, I did sleep in this morning, so I could award it to myself, but I'm going to award myself Legend of the Week for not doing any work. No, today's goes to somebody to do with Kanye West. I'm not going to give it to Kanye, though. That's one rule. You know I'm a Kanye diehard fan, so I'll never give it to him no matter what he does.
If it was up to me, he'd be getting it every week. Every second week. It'd rotate between him and Trump.
Have you heard his new album yet? There's some real good songs on there.
I am obsessed with one of his older songs. I think it's When did Jesus Walks come out?
That's his first single.
Okay, so all of a sudden, over the weekend, I've put that on my summer 19/20 playlist, and I've been fanging it all weekend.
Well, if you missed it, Kanye's album came out last Friday. Have you seen Airpool Karaoke with James Corden? Mm. It went viral. It is so good. So basically, he does carpool karaoke, right, with all the other celebs.
Yeah.
Kanye brought the gospel choir, and obviously can't all fit in a 5-seater car, so he hired an aeroplane, and the gospel choir filled the plane, and Kanye and James Corden sat there. They did the same things. It's incredible. Make sure you check it out if you can. But every Sunday, he does a Sunday service, obviously, and the choir performs kind of church service, single gospel-style songs for everyone.
Mm.
He puts them on for free. So you can rock up and see Kanye West for free. It's not a bad get if he comes to your area, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we know he's playing at a church in Shep, we can all rock up for free and see Kanye.
Great.
He put on before church over the weekend yesterday something called Brunchella. Right.
Like Coachella.
Very similar, except it's brunch beforehand. However, brunch cost $80, which is expensive.
Yeah, but brunch with Kanye, you'd expect to pay a lot more than
really. That's what I was saying. People are whinging and comparing it to the Fyre Festival, though, because for $80, look what it gets you.
Oh, two pancakes, a shred of bacon, and what's that other bit?
A piece of weird bread.
Oh.
Looks gross, doesn't it? But they're saying, so this lady, her name's Kimberly, she's come out and outed Kanye.
Kardashian?
No, Kimberly Kardashian. Well, that is her full name. How weird. No, some random. Kimberly Kinchin, her name is.
Oh, yeah.
She's whinging, saying, I'm sick of this because I spent $80 for this. Kim, you're forgetting that he's put on a free performance for you. You are this week's Muppet of the Week.
Oh, she's the Muppet.
I'm not going to award it to Kanye.
Turn.
I'm not going to give it to Kanye. I'm giving it to the people that are whinging about getting a free experience with Kanye because he's the man. Well, mama, I know I
act the fool, but I'll be gone. My new song. Do you know what? I will agree that he's not the Muppet of the Week just because I've just discovered this song.
Oh,
it's so good.
Have you heard the remix with Jay-Z yet?
No.
Oh, do yourself a favour, E-Chain.
I took my kayak out on the Goulburn River the other day and I was cranking this as I was kayaking down the river.
You know, we needed to crank this song when we were in that room. I tell you what, we needed Jesus in there.
Yeah, we did.
I think he's the one thing that stopped the ghost from getting me.
No, I think that there's heaps of other things that stopped it. That's cool.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, if you're a true crime nerd, like you and I both are, Josiah, we love our true crime, then this could be an interesting read for you. It's called The Expert Witness. It's a book that's out now in all good bookstores. And the author of it is forensic toxicologist William Allender. He joins us now. Morning, William.
Good morning.
So what is it exactly that a forensic toxicologist does? What's your job?
essentially, I'm very much like a pharmacologist. I interpret the effects of drugs and that sort of thing. But I suppose in some ways you could call me a pessimistic pharmacologist because I look at the toxic effects of the drugs and various other poisons as well.
So is it generally poisonings that you work with?
Generally, yes. That's when I come in. That's why I'm saying I'm a pessimistic pharmacologist.
Yeah, right.
I come across the cases where the drugs have been misused in various ways, whether it's through suicide or murder.
Is there any cases in particular that really stand out from what you've worked on?
There's a number that would actually stand out. The body in the wheelie bin murder would be certainly one of them. The Diane Brimble case.
Oh, wow.
There was another one called the Impatient Heir. The Waitman murders, where a young adopted son actually had his two parents murdered so that he could get his inheritance a little bit early.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
Seeing some of these horrific crimes, you become a bit,
desensitized?
Yeah, desensitized to it after a while, because if I saw that, I'd be in meltdown. But I guess over the years, you get more and more used to it. Is that how it works?
Well, I don't think you ever really get used to it because we're dealing with fellow human beings. No, I think I've had to approach it like a professional. It's very much like paramedics that come onto an accident scene. You've got to think, well, it's a horrible sight, but you've got to get in there and do the job and do the best you can. But, yes, some do have an effect. I think I became prematurely grey over it.
How often does a case appear as though it's one way and then it's come to you and you've realised that there's foul play or you've kind of cracked the case open? Has that happened to you, that you've been the sole reason that something's been ruled a homicide?
Well, no, generally it's a team effort. There's a lot of work that goes in beforehand with the police and various detectives before the case actually came across my desk. In my particular instance, interpreting the levels of drugs and poisons found in the body, it really comes down to the level that's been found. And that's where I can determine whether it was actually a suicide or whether it's actually a murder.
Do you find you're fascinated with true crime outside of work? Do you ever listen to true crime podcasts or anything? Or are you just like, nope, let's leave it all at the office?
A good question. Well, the fact that I was drawn into this type of career, I've started off basically in the pharmaceutical industry, so I've always been fascinated by drugs and how they can do the body good, but also on the dark side, how they can do the body a lot of harm where the dosages are exceeded. So I still have a bit of an interest outside of work, of course, hence the book being generated.
Do you love yourself a bit of TV shows like The Blacklist or what's another?
The Mentalist.
Law and Order, The Mentalist. Do you love those type of shows?
Well, I don't watch those shows to be quite honest. And my wife gets a bit annoyed with me if I do watch them because sometimes I pick them to pieces.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
He couldn't really have done that, you know. Yeah. And that sort of thing. So that's why I watch shows like CSI or NCIS and those sort of shows. So.
No, I'm looking forward to having a read of your book, The Expert Witness, mate. It looks like a fascinating read. You're a fascinating man with a fascinating job. Fascinating is a good word,
it
I reckon.
It is the word of the day, apparently.
It is.
All right, William Allender, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, over the weekend was the inaugural Land of Plenty Festival in Shepparton. Had a massive turnout. Thousands and thousands of people headed along, which is a good effort to, because the rain was horrific over the weekend.
Yeah, it kind of made the festival, though. You and I were both there. The rain didn't put anyone off at all. I was worried about my hair because I just washed it. But besides that, I think everyone else.
Mine went so curly. It was crazy. I've never had it that curly before.
I know. But no, it kind of held out in the end, didn't it? As in, it wasn't a lightning storm. It was just rain.
Yeah, and it wasn't that cold, which was good. The poncho. The humble poncho. What a lifesaver that was. I tell you what. It was, firstly, want to say, a huge success. Congratulations to everyone involved in bringing this together, the council, the dudes who put it all together, Aiden and Shades, and they all did such a good job. You honestly couldn't have done a better job.
Yeah, there's a big team behind it. You guys know who you are. We have spoken to many of you as well. So, yeah, good work on it, and we'll definitely have to be back. After seeing how good it was, it's a no-brainer to come back next year.
100%. Highlight for me was Tones and I. Johnny, run away, no Johnny. She killed it.
She was awesome, hey?
Oh, and that was when the rain was really, really bucketing down. So when she sung that song, Never Seen the Rain, I was so mad because she did not make a single gag about it raining.
Not to mention that was her second song.
Yeah.
I know she's got bigger songs at the moment, but you'd think with the rain happening that she would have finished with that.
Yeah,
thing.
And then be like, oh, guys, I can see the rain, but nothing. I was so disappointed. But regardless, she killed it. Also, Briggs went off, of course, to his home crowd. More than a postcode. When he played this one, I was surrounded by people from Bendigo, and I was like, oh, go away, this is our song. And so I just went and banded with some random Shepertonians, and we all busted out to it. It was great. But there was a moment towards the end of the night where I think I've put our foot in it.
Yeah, what's going on here? Because I organise the interviews for this show. I make the relationships what they are.
Yeah.
And you're the one that just jumps in and apparently stuffs them up. What have you done?
Okay, so you and I were in the VIP section.
Because we're legends.
Because we're legends, obviously. And there was drinks available in the VIP section. Little did I know you couldn't take your drinks out to the main stage part because that was the all ages section. I didn't quite realise that.
Yeah, you had to smash your drink or you'd just finish it before you'd leave.
Yeah, so I somehow managed to get one out. Like, I didn't even realise that I was sneaking it out. I just walked out with it and the security guard didn't know, whatever. And so I was on the like mosh pity dance floor. The security guard just comes up and pours my drink on the ground.
Awesome.
I'm like, okay, so I didn't realise that this was the all ages section.
I know a few of the security boys that were working on Saturday. They actually did a good job. There was a lot of them there. It was a good police presence, security presence as well. I love that they did that.
I know, right? I was mortified. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't realise I was breaking the rules.
I wish he knew who you were. I wish.
Well, it gets worse. So towards the end of the night, I was back in the VIP section, drink in hand, and we were talking to the organiser, Aiden, who was a lovely guy, and his brother was there, I think, as well. Anyway, so my friend says to me, oh, like, it's the last act. Illy's about to be on. Finish your drink. We'll go out there. And I was like, oh, I don't need to finish my drink. I took it out last time, so I'll just take it out again.
Oh, Ellie. Ellie.
As a joke. But then I realised that I'd said that directly to the organiser of the whole festival, and he was like, you're not allowed to do that. There's no drinks allowed in there. Like, deadpan, serious face. I was like, oh, I was just kidding. I promise. I have finished.
Because he knows that they can lose their licence if they get caught.
I didn't. It was just a joke. And then my friend goes, you realise I'm just the organiser of the whole thing? I'm like, yeah, I know, just kidding. But how good Shep lies. Shep lies more
than a postcard. He should have grabbed your drink and poured it on your head.
I know. Well, luckily he understood that it was just a joke. I finished my drink and then off we went and danced to Illy all night long.
Oh, I just got an email off him this morning, actually.
I'm blacklisted, aren't I?
Yeah, get a new co-host.
I'm sorry, Aiden. I'm sorry, everyone. 5 stars to Land of Plenty, guys. If it's back next year, make sure you get around it. In fact, buy a ticket now. I'm sure they're not available, but put some money aside. It's a great festival.
Hit Breakfast with Josiah and Ellie. Later.
Your favourite segment. Here you go, say it.
13, 12, 16. Everybody's favourite segment for a Monday. Meet me in the riddles back. I put out a 3 riddles. If you know the answer, 13, 12, 16. The first one, Ellie, you're ready to go.
Hit me.
Mrs. Black had 2 children, right? Mm-hmm. The oldest child is a girl. What are the odds that the other child is also a girl? 13, 12, 16, if you know the answer to that. It'll blow your mind when you know the answer.
Okay, Mrs. Black had 2 children.
If the oldest child's a girl, what are the odds that the other child is also a girl? There's an obvious answer and then there's an unobvious answer. 13, 12, 16.
Mrs. Black had 2 children.
The oldest child's a girl. What are the odds of the other child?
I mean, I feel like there is an obvious answer.
Yes, but is that the real answer? That's the big question. 13, 12, 16, if you know it, guys.
I'm trying to think of what the other answer could be, if not the obvious one.
All right, give us the obvious one and we'll see, because the phones aren't ringing right now. Guys, switch on. It's a Monday. We need you.
No one switched on a Monday, especially the day before Melbourne Cup, because so many people have taken today off.
Well, clearly, because the phones aren't ringing.
I know. I mean, they rang heaps for the school stuff, though. People are still on their way to school, Josiah. Why are they not playing riddles? The oldest child is a girl. Cool. She's got 2 children. Cool. What are the chances the other one's a girl? 50%.
You're boring. It's right.
Yay! I don't see why it would be any other way.
Because it could be a boy, it could be a girl. Yeah. Who knows? I don't really know.
Who have we got here who's just called through? You're live on the radio.
Hey, you've got Troy.
Troy, what would you have said for the answer for that one?
it's a 50-50 chance.
That's it. Well,
Troy
done,
boy,
mate.
You're on.
You're on to the second riddle this morning, Troy. What town are you calling from, mate?
Echuca, mate.
Beautiful. Well, good luck, mate. Let's see how we go in the next riddle that I Googled.
So blokey, mate. So many mates back and forth
Yeah, the boys.
All right.
Troy, you walk across a bridge, you see a boat full of people, yet there's not a single person on board. How is that possible? You walk across a bridge, you see a boat full of people, yet there isn't a single person on board. How is that possible? 13, 12, 16, if you know the answer, give us a call. Troy, any ideas at all, mate?
You see a boat full of people, but there's nobody on it.
There's not a single person on board. How is that possible?
I got no idea.
Ellie, anything?
I've got an inkling of an idea, but it could sound stupid.
Go on, give it to us.
Do you mean there's not a single person on board the bridge?
You're on the right path, but you're incorrect. Thanks for playing, Troy. We do have another call on 13, 12, 16, mate. Hello,
who have we got here?
Molly.
You walk across the bridge, a boat full of people underneath. There's not a single person on board, though. How is that even possible?
They're all married.
Bang!
Oh, damn!
Molly is fired up for a Monday, aren't you?
Trying to be.
Yeah. What a boring cruise that is. I want to go on the singles one, thanks.
All right, Molly, to take out the chocolates, your prize this morning is love and affection, the third and final riddle. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
You've got to know your geography for this one.
Oh,
how
God.
Is Europe...
Molly's nervous.
How is Europe like a frying pan?
Oh, I have no idea.
Think carefully. How is Europe like a frying pan? How do you compare the two?
Syrup?
Incorrect.
Syrup, did you say?
Yeah. How is Europe like a frying pan?
Oh, because you do syrup in a frying pan and Europe and syrup sound the same.
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
Very left field. No, you know what? I liked it.
Molly, that was an educated guess, but it was incorrect, unfortunately.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
13, 12, 16. Oh, anyone? Stay there, Molly, because you might still win if no one calls. How is Europe like a frying pan? Keep talking, girls.
Is it something to do with, like, the shape of Europe, the continent?
Think about the countries of Europe.
Oh, God.
That's right, Molly. We've got a good phone call. Sorry.
You've been
shafted.
Hello, who have we got here?
Jess.
Any idea?
How is Europe like a frying pan, Jess?
Because it has grease at the bottom.
Stop it!
My favourite ever riddle on this show.
Yeah, that is great. Oh, my God. How did you know that?
Honestly, I Googled it.
Righto.
What, the answer, or did you Google a map of Europe?
It's map of Europe.
Well, okay, to be honest, I Googled that riddle, so we're all winners here.
Or is Google the real winner?
Greece is at the bottom. Well done. Have a lovely day, and thanks for playing Meet Me in the Riddle.
Thanks. Bye.
If you see any riddles throughout the week, feel free to send them through to Josiah. Hit him up. Not me, because I like to play. I don't like to know the answers.
Hit me up on my personal Instagram.
No, hit me up. I'm one follower away from 2,000.
Yeah, I want to do a great unfollow of Chaney
today.
No, don't.
Guys, I got one follower. Well, I need one more, please.
GV on Instagram if you need us, guys.
Or ellie.chaney if you need me. Okay.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Let's talk about what happened on Friday. So we got a bunch of notifications saying all schools in Shepparton had been shut down. They were in lockdown. We didn't know why, but we just knew that they were in lockdown. And then more and more reports began to surface that there was a bomb scare and that some schools had reopened and then some schools were shut down again. And then again, it happened in the afternoon. So to give us more of a rounded description about what went down on Friday is Lexi Junawick from Channel 9 News. She joins us now. Morning, Lex.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, quite a dramatic kind of situation that unfolded very rapidly because we heard that one school was in lockdown and then it kept on increasing until pretty much the entire school community in Shepparton was either being evacuated or locked down. So what is believed to have happened, police have told me, is that there are a number of hoax calls made to these schools. And of course, the schools take them very seriously and, you know, enacted these plans. And as a result, we had this, I guess, if you will, a mass lockdown evacuation situation.
Lex, so I've heard many different rumours as to what happened. One of them in particular is that it was a student that didn't want to sit their VCE exam, so they called in a bomb threat. Is that any truth to that rumour? Do we know exactly what it was?
Well, police have just told me that they're actively investigating and they can't, you know, speculate on exactly what the nature of the call was. But I think that's a pretty extreme take to, you know, avoid doing your VCE. So we'd hope that it wasn't something as trivial as that. You know, everyone's done a VCE. They're not pretty, but, you know, it's not worth doing a kind of a huge bomb scare lockdown situation.
I know. Chuck a sickie. You don't threaten with a bomb.
Yeah,
I know. Exactly right.
Exactly. So police have deemed that it was all a hoax. That's the kind of final word. And they're still investigating it now?
That's right. That's right. So if anyone has information, of course, that's credible, definitely make a call to Crime Stoppers, if not Shep Police.
Yeah, wow. Right. Okay. Well, what kind of got us is, so Josiah and I were sitting in a meeting when we got a notification, I think from the Shep News, was it, that we found out?
Yeah maybe.
Yeah, and they'd reported.
And Crime Watch too.
Yeah, so they'd reported, but the details were very scarce. We didn't know why or what had happened at all until we went on the Shop's Stop Shepherd and Super School page, which really gave us the most information from parents and people, because they were all trading information from what they'd heard. And this is not the first. There was two shutdowns, I think, that happened in schools last week.
Yeah, and it's happened over the last for years as well. It's not an uncommon thing to happen here around the Goulburn Valley.
Yeah, and a lot of the parents were saying that they only found out about the shutdown after the school had been deemed safe. Is that correct, Lex? Is that what your understanding was?
Well, yeah, it is my understanding, because from what I saw was that, as you're right, the comment section of a lot of those pages really lit up with people saying, what's going on? I don't know. I haven't been told. There's been a few schools that have come out and said, look, we contacted the school community. But how that kind of contact is made is maybe something that they have to have a look at, whether or not, you know, it's making a Facebook alert to parents on a particular school page, as opposed to getting that secondhand information, which I think causes unnecessary stress to a lot of people.
Well, that's the thing. And if I was a parent, I'd be very scared not knowing what's going on. And you want to know straight away, because the first thing you do is probably drive straight to the school to make sure your kids are all right. But on the flip side, it's also deemed unsafe. But the bad thing, or the good thing, it depends how you look at it, about these Facebook groups is it can cause things to spiral. And I was reading some of the comments. It sounded like it was actually happening. It didn't sound like it was a hoax. And people build on a situation more than it is, Lex.
Yeah, exactly right. And as we know, like, you know, those rumours, and they keep building. And unfortunately, social media is great in some ways, but in other ways, it can really fuel the fire, if you will, of, you know, stuff that might not be true and get people upset and freaked out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there seems to be a lot of debate on these pages about when the parents should be notified about these shutdowns, because a lot of the parents were saying, I can't believe we didn't find out until after the threat was already gone. And then other parents were piping up and saying, look, I'd rather that schools were focusing on my kids' safety before worrying about sending out messages and whatnot, which is a pretty good point to raise. And kind of the one that I want to talk about this morning on the show, 13, 12, 16. Are you a parent who was involved in the shutdowns on Friday? I'm sure we've got plenty listening right now. And what do you think? When should you be notified? As soon as it happens or afterwards? Or what's your opinion? Because I feel like it's quite a divisive one at the moment.
Yeah, do you want to know when it's safe and clear, or are you wanting to know the danger straight away?
Yeah. Catherine from Nathalia's called through. Morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
What are your thoughts on this? Were you happy with how parents were notified? What do you think?
Absolutely. My daughter goes to Wanganui, and the school's priority is the students. Mm-hmm. Like, if we have a family member in a car accident, we don't expect the paramedics to be ringing us. We expect them to be treating and managing the situation, and I see it as no different than that.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I'm at work and I don't need to be notified straight away. There's nothing I can do. The school's got to manage that situation, then notify us.
Catherine, what if something actually did happen? Lucky it was a hoax, obviously, on Friday, or we think it was. What if something did happen to the kids? Do you think you'd be upset then?
No, because at the end of the day, I enrolled my daughter in that school because I trust the staff there, and that's their job to manage that situation. No different than if I was at work trying to manage staff. I have to manage that situation, then you would put into practice what's the next step.
No, I agree with that.
And you make a good point in that, what can you do, really? You know, like, the situation's obviously already unfolding. There's not much you can, if you go in guns blazing, you know, what help is that going to do anyone?
Having 3,000 parents being crazy, turning up to the school will not help any situation.
That's a teacher's worst nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, Catherine, thanks so much for your thoughts this morning. Diane's in Shep. She's actually doing a school drop-off as we speak. Morning.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, thank you. Now, what are your thoughts on the way things were handled on Friday?
In my case, anyway, I was fairly happy with it. I received an SMS as it was happening, not after the fact. from the principal of Shepparton High School stating that the students had been evacuated, were all safe and well, had been evacuated to their back ovals. I then received an SMS from the principal after they were all safe and well back inside the building afterwards.
Diane, when you received that first text, did any part of you want to race there and see if the kids are all right, or did you have every bit of trust and faith that it's all good?
Yeah, no. Me rushing there would not help the situation.
Yeah.
It wasn't stipulated in the message what the evacuation was for, but me rushing there would not help the situation in any case. My son tells me that the students weren't told at the time of the evacuation that there was a bomb threat.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, that just wouldn't have been helpful at all. Would have caused mass hysteria, I believe.
Yeah, I can imagine. What are your thoughts as a parent upon receiving that message? Does your stomach just drop?
No, not really, because I trust in the school and they followed all their protocols.
Mm-hmm.
I got the gist of the message that it wasn't a... what do you call it?
A bomb.
Yeah,
it wasn't a trial, evacuation. It was just something going on. But it's not helpful me getting all worked up about it.
For sure. Hey, your kid's going to be going to the super school?
Yes.
Yeah? What are your thoughts? Like, procedures like this, once the super school's in place and there's thousands more kids to deal with, do you think that it'll change at all? Will it make it harder? What are your thoughts?
Possibly will make it harder, but I do know in their buildings that they are building. I know they've got plenty of entries and exit points. They've got more than one entrance in each building that they're proposing.
Yeah.
And they'll have their protocols and ways of doing, I suppose, the same as evacuating any large area, I suppose.
Yeah, good point.
But yeah, there's no point sitting around speculating about it all.
Yeah, just what will be, as BB Rexha once said. All right, Diane, thanks so much for giving us a call this morning.
No worries.
Very interesting stuff.
What's a BB Rexha? Is a wise philosopher.
If it's meant to be, it'll be.
Didn't know she was the new Mother Teresa.
Hey, you know, we play hits and old school on this station, which means it's something I live by, Josiah. At least it's not Britney Spears, oops, I did it again, you know what I mean?
Hit Breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.